Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Yossi says, Boker Tov, my wife loves and I love Erin Molan. Subscribed, fully invested in her podcast. She is one brave woman with so many interesting guests on her show. And you know what? I was going to introduce Erin myself, but I didn't need to after that. Erin, good morning. How's that for an intro?
Good morning. Oh, that's so lovely. Bless them and bless you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Great to chat to you. And in fact, when I mentioned that you were going to be joining us, the number of messages we received is absolutely incredible. So first of all, welcome. Oh. Great to chat to you again. Let's just talk about what is the pressures to end this war. It's a bit the Israel and the U.S. war against Iran. Obviously, a very, very critical one, given Iran's stated intentions, given what Iran are doing to their people. And yet somehow there is this enormous pressure to end it. Where does this come from?
Oh, it's insanity. And you can ask the same question in 10 different situations that exist globally now and just say it makes absolutely no sense. I would say to those on the left, the Democrats, you know, the nutcases, what more does a regime have to do for you to consider it a legitimate threat? Like tell me, they kill Americans. For starters, they have mm-hmm. the blood of multiple Americans on their hands. The same regime has been doing the same thing for 47 years. They were within 11 days of having capability. They chant death to America. They fund the proxies, the Houthis, Hezbollah, Hamas, who kill Americans. What more? Do you want to wait for them to develop and build the capability, use it, and then you say, oh, this is a good time to act? No, it's insane. If you look back at every single American leader since this regime took power, the Islamic regime of Iran 47 years ago, I spent far too long going through every single leader, every American president since then, and ascertaining their viewpoint. Every single one of them was unapologetic. This regime is evil. Donald Trump is the first president who's willing to actually do something about it before it becomes catastrophic, and it will. It will. They've told us a million times. Why don't we believe them? Not only do they use the words, but they follow through with actions and attempt to kill. Now, President Trump is showing incredible patience here. America and Israel have all the cards. This is not a ceasefire. Don't for a second think that the phase we're in now is a ceasefire. It's economic warfare. And what it's doing is strangling this regime of its ability. It's starving them of the ability to pay their fighters and to fund all of their terror proxies. It's working. We've just got to hold on.
The fact that it has stopped for, well, the active part of the war has stopped
the
for
military
now.
The military part,
right, has stopped now. Does this make it more less likely that it'll go back to the military phase? And can the economic pressure that the United States is placing on Iran, which is actually quite brilliant in how it is Trump is handling this, can that be enough to pressure Iran?
It's a great question. And the point I'd make to you is this: even after the news that we've just received regarding the US's intention, and they'll start Monday morning, to escort ships through, what does that do? That takes the only card the Islamic regime currently have, which is controlling the Strait of Hormuz. It takes that away from them. So they either decide to stop them physically, in which case the US and Israel hit back in an enormous way, or they allow it to happen, which means they lose their last card. And you think about the financial, the economic part of this. It's not just about hurting this Islamic regime in regards to what they can continue doing, electricity. Again, the paying of their people is significant. And I'll tell you why. When you look at the people of Iran, who are phenomenal human beings, I'd hazard a guess even more than 80% hate this regime, but that's the figure that we're told. Do not support this regime. The issue is, it doesn't matter how big your heart is, how much courage you have, and we saw how much courage they have in January. If you don't have weapons, you've got nothing. They cannot defeat this regime without weapons. That's what they need. It doesn't matter how much heart you've got. We saw they were willing to die for it. This regime its fighters don't all share its ideology. Some of them do, absolutely. The vast majority don't. When they're not being paid, do you think they're going to go and continue fighting? No. They're going to say, well, okay, the encouragement is there. Let's join the people. Mm-hmm. The less that you have to pay the people to do your dirty work, not just against, you know, your enemies, i.e. America and Israel, but to kill their own people, the less people they have to do that, the more chance there is that there's an uprising that can actually work. And again, you look at what the Iranian people did without a thing Incredible. In their hands, and tens of thousands of them paid the ultimate price. You give them a head start, you give them a leg up, which is what the US has already and Israel have done militarily. Give them that leg up, starve them of their ability to fight their evil army. You get some of them to then say, okay, I'm going to join the people, or I'm not going to do your dirty work because you're not paying me, and everything is just kind of simmering now in this storm that could eventually mean, and sooner rather than later, the overturning of this regime.
What about the enriched uranium? Because that's the only other part that remains really a concern if this conflict ends without that being in safe hands.
Absolutely. And look, I don't think it will. I think that is one of the non-negotiables in this. I don't think it will end. But look, I've been saying forever, and, you know, I'm probably like a lot of your listeners in that some of the things that you see the US administration come out with, or even Donald Trump will say, you know, we're working towards this deal, and you cannot do a deal with the devil. They are the devil. They are not like normal people. They're not rational. They don't value life. They don't care about their own people. No deal will ever be respected. So any agreement that is arranged or come to cannot allow them to use anything to cause massive harm. So there's no way that it can be allowed to remain, and that there will be no deal done that enables them to A, continue working on a nuclear program, or B, to continue to harbor and keep in a safe space the materials and the elements that are already very dangerous. It just won't happen. It can't happen. It will make everything that's occurred over the last 2 months meaningless.
Something that bothers me, and I'm just interested in your thoughts on this, is there's little doubt that even given the fact that the internet has been completely restricted in Iran, even given the fact that we don't actually know what is really going on, there's no doubt that both the United States and Israel have people on the ground. They do understand and know what is going on. Why do you think it is that we haven't seen information deliberately leaked or even shared about what is happening in Iran itself? It's been completely, completely silent.
Yeah. It's such a great point. And look, I've had guests on who have direct family members. I had a guest on maybe 2-3 weeks ago who had just spoken to his mother for the first time since the war had broken out. But you're absolutely spot on. And I hadn't actually quite thought about it in that way. We haven't actually seen a thing, really, Nothing. Have we?
Mm-mm.
We've only heard reports. And that's obviously that you know, it's part of their game plan, isn't it, to silence their own people, which is why it's so crucial that people continue to fight. And you're right. In terms of things getting out, I'd say that would be people can communicate. But in terms of videos being sent out, we're not seeing a thing.
Yeah.
And it's another reason why the insanity of those who continually take pot shots at what's occurring, and again, we should ask questions of any administration that enters into a conflict. That, you know, journalists should be asking questions. They must be held to account. I get all of that, but there are people who are not doing that. They are running cover for the Islamic regime of Iran, and it's a regime that does not respect freedom in any way, shape or form, and we're not seeing or hearing anything. But there are voices that I trust who have direct communication, who are not, you know, influenced in any way and don't benefit in any way, that I get some information from. But you're right, it's extraordinary in this day and age, isn't it?
It's almost unfathomable.
We were seeing it is, and to be honest, I'm actually almost mind blown, because I hadn't actually thought of that point myself. I knew that the internet had been cut out and we're going a million days, but the fact that, you know, during the January uprising, we saw some videos, we saw kind of, you know, some things coming out. Now we have not seen almost anything except, of course, little bits and pieces that the regime wants out.
Exactly.
I.e., you know, the videos of them holding hands along the bridges and pieces of infrastructure. But it's extraordinary. And again, you've got to ask yourself, why have they gone to the greatest lengths in history that we've seen since this technology existed to not allow a thing to get out? And that should answer every question you have regarding the legitimacy and the, you know, any element of this regime that is got an iota of humanitarianism in it.
Absolutely. Erin Molan, this is where I need to unfortunately end our conversation. We need to go to ads. We need to go to news. I'm out of here. It is almost 9 o'clock. Thank you, Erin Molan. Just an amazing conversation. Lots of messages. Thanks to you all for joining me for the last 3 hours.